Ben is in Canada visiting his parents and his brother back to the motherland. I think that's where Canadians get their power from. It's kind of like a battery. He was like running low because he's been in America too long, so he needed to charge that Canadian battery right back up to full speed. But I am here, and I just want to introduce myself a little bit. I am Jesse. I am married. I have a wife named Natalie. If you have first year seminar, maybe some of you have her as a professor. Please don't hold that against me if you don't like her. And if you do, that's my wife, okay? And I have a seven month old son named Thor. I don't know if you guys ever have a problem like the balance of being humble and being truthful. I struggle with that because Thor is literally the cutest baby in the world. And I'm trying to be humble about it, but it's a true thing. So it's like a funny balance. But with Thor right now, he is in the trying to crawl stage. And I am like, man, I just want him to move. Because like, it's super fun having a baby, except sometimes it's not because they just sit all day. And like, you have to like, just give them toys and hope it's what they want. But when they can move, they can like just go do what they need to do, and they can grab the toy they want to. And so like I get super amped, like I get him on his all fours and he's like shaking, and we're both yelling at each other, and I'm like, come on, and he's like, ah, and like it's super fun, and then he doesn't go anywhere, and I'm like, man, and then he rolls over and like he gives up. And there's like this excitement that I have, like, come on, man, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. And I remember when I was little, I was like a high schooler, maybe just like a middle schooler, somewhere right in there. And my family went to a place called Geauga Lake. And Geauga Lake in Ohio, that's where I'm from, it was like the Walmart version of Cedar Point. Cedar Point is also in Ohio, and it's the best amusement park in the world. It has like I don't know how many of the top 10 roller coasters in the world, but it's a lot. It's a majority of them. And Geauga Lake was also an amusement park, but it was like I said, the Walmart version. Still pretty good, not the best, okay? And I remember getting out of the car, and I unbuckled, jumped out of the car, ran out, and my mom and dad are like, Jesse, hey, don't run in the street. Don't run in the parking lot. There's cars coming. Like, you're going to get hit. I'm like, okay, fine. Okay. Because I have a little brother and sister, and they were trying to get them out, and I kept, I get too antsy, and I would, like, walk out, and they're like, Jesse, you're going to get hit by a car. And I would be like, you know what? At least I'm going to get to ride something today. Let's go. Come on. And there was this, like, inside of me, like, I just need to, come on. I have this thing that I really want to do. And my parents just like, we're so slow. Really, it was my sister, but I just blame it on my parents. But that feeling that sometimes we have when things aren't moving fast enough or in the way we want them to go, that like, there's like this internal struggle of anxiety and stress and like happiness and fear and like all these things. And it's just like this, come on, feeling. And we've probably all been there. And today, in our story, it starts in Mark chapter 5. And it starts with Jesus. He's on this island, and there's this demon-possessed man. And Jesus yells at all the demons, and they go into some pigs. And then they all jump off a cliff and drown themselves. And I'm sure if you've never been to church before, you're like, that's not a true story. Just read it. It makes way more sense. I'm not getting into it right now. But I can see where you're coming from. That is a crazy start to a story. But after that, Jesus gets in a boat, and he crosses over the lake, and the Bible says that he's greeted by a big number of people. And so Jesus gets off the boat, and all these people are like, Jesus, Jesus. And he's like high-fiving people, like, wait, what's up, Thomas? Hey, what's up, Beth? Okay, like, nice to see you guys. And then the Bible says a guy named Jairus, who was a synagogue leader, comes right up to him. And now synagogue leaders, typically Pharisees, Sadducees, these people who were in charge of the temple, notoriously throughout the whole New Testament of Jesus' life, were trying to kill him. They were trying to figure out ways to get rid of Jesus. And this guy comes straight through the crowd, and the crowd moves for him because they were very important, powerful people. Comes straight up to Jesus, falls on his face, and says, Jesus, my daughter is sick and almost dead. She's going to die, and I need your help. So right off the bat, for this synagogue leader to not only say, all right, you know, I've been praying myself, I've been going to medicine. Jesus, this is it. This is my last hope. I've heard you can do this stuff, and I don't want to believe it, but I'm giving you a shot. And for this guy, this priest, to fall on the dirt in front of someone else, man, this was a serious thing. And as a dad, like, I know, like, I don't really know, I don't ever want to know what it would be like to be that scared for my daughter or my son's life, but Jairus was. And Jesus says, yeah, Jairus, come on, man, get up. Yeah, let's go. I'm with you. I got you. And so Jairus probably has, like, this moment, like, he's still, like, super stressed out, but he's finally like, okay, whew. All right, Jesus is with us. This is great. Okay, let's go. And so he starts going, and there's like a crowd. The crowds are coming out. Like, when Jesus goes anywhere, you always see, like, Jesus shows up and crowds gather. Like, that's just what happens when Jesus is around. So people start gathering because Jesus is there. And the Bible says that as they started walking, people pressed, the crowd pressed against Jesus. And the closest thing, when you look at that word in the Greek, that I can think of is like if you've ever been to a mosh pit at a concert. And I've been to a few shows in my day, and I prefer the ones with open floor space, and you can get right up to the stage, and it's like a cement floor, and it's a little grungy. Those are my favorite kind of venues. And in those mosh pits, what happens is that people are so crunched in there that you have to pick before the music starts whether you want your hands to be down or whether you want your hands to be up. Because if you go halfway in between throughout the song, you're going to elbow everyone around you, and you're a target now, okay? You're probably going to get pushed harder or something. And so my typical move is right hand up so I can, like, do one of these, maybe give it to the guitar man who's giving me a sick solo, and push. So, like, I could be like, that's my move in a mosh pit. But, like, if you've ever been there, you know that it's like hard to kind of move. And you have to make sure there's, like, a big guy that you're with. That way they can push everybody out of the way. And so the Bible says that they're pressing against it. And that's literally, like, the closest analogy today that I could think of. And Jairus, he's, like, blasting through these people. Like, get out of my way. Get out of my way. My daughter's sick. And Jesus is, like, walking through, and his disciples are with them, and he's still, you know, he's still being Jesus. He's being nice to everybody. And then all of a sudden, Jesus stops. He's like looking around. And his disciples are like, hey, Jesus, what's up, man? He's like, guys, someone touched me. And they're like, oh my God. Now, I think that's allowed because they're talking to Jesus. And they're like, everyone's touching you. Look at the crowd. Everyone is around you. What are you talking about? Someone touched you. He's like, we got to find them. Find the person who touched me. And they're like, Jesus, you got to be more specific here. You got to be more specific. Everyone is touching you. And while this is happening, sometimes when we hear this story, we're so caught up in what Jesus is doing that we forget about Jairus. Out in front of the crowd, we have a dad whose daughter's about to die. And Jesus is stopped over there in the middle of a big crowd going, who touched me? If I am Jairus, I'm probably not super chill with this. In fact, I'm probably pretty mad. Because when fear and sorrow and anger get all mixed up in here, it's a brutal combo. And Jairus is like, hey, Jesus, you said you were with me. Hey, remember me, Jairus? We just talked 10 minutes ago. We have to go. I don't know what you're standing around for. And Jesus is like, no, guys, listen, someone touched me. I felt some of my power go away. We got to find who it is. And he's like, I don't care. We don't have time for this, Jesus. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Come on. And Jesus is like, no, we gotta, all right, who touched me? And then the Bible says this woman crawled up to him on the ground, and Jesus starts talking to her, and what's going on? And she said, I've been bleeding for 7 years. I've went to every doctor, I've done everything, and I just thought, I just reached out and touched the corner of your jacket and I thought it may be help. And you know what? The pain and everything left. And Jesus is like, wow, your faith has healed you. This is amazing. And the crowd's probably like, wow, this is so cool. That lady just had to touch his coat. Most people have to like have Jesus talk to them or something or actually touch them. She just touched his coat and was healed. And everyone's like, wow, this is amazing. Except for Jairus, who's like, who cares? Come on. Come on. Priority. You said you were with me. You said you were with me, not her. She just crawled up and touched you. Like, let's go. All right, your job's done. And Jesus is and everybody is focused on this thing. And Jesus is talking to this lady. And Jairus is like all kinds of like, come on, come on, come on. And then the Bible says that one of Jairus' servants come up to him and say, hey, Jairus, don't bother the teacher anymore. Your daughter's died. And again, I can only imagine then the tsunami of sorrow and anger that flooded Jairus' chest right at that time. And it all came out at Jesus. You said you were with me. You were following me. You decided to stop because someone touched me. You said, boo, 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 boo. In my own life, when I was 15 or 16, I was a teenage boy who, unlike other teenage boys, I really wanted a family. I really wanted to be married. I really wanted a kid, and I just, like, that was the desire that was laid on my heart, and I knew that God was in that, and he was with me in this, and it was gonna be great, and you know what, like, I was going into ministry, and I was gonna go to college for that, and I was faithful, and I remained pure, and I stayed on Jesus, and I was like, this is gonna be a piece of cake. I'm gonna get a wife, and I'm gonna get a kid, and it's gonna be great. And I dated a few girls in high school, and they, that, like, my record coming out of high school was 3 weeks long, and so I was like, well, I'm on a good starting track, okay? 3 weeks is a good starting point. And then, so I went to college, hoping to make it 4 eventually, and I can, as sad and embarrassing as it kind of is to say, I can name the girl I was trying to pursue based on the semester in school I was in, because there was always someone different, because honestly, I just really wanted that family. I wanted to have a girlfriend. I wanted to have a wife. I wanted to get that part of my life going. I wanted to have that set up so when I graduated, I could get a job and have a family, and it would be perfect. And during college, I didn't really break my record. There was go on a few dates, and that was it. Date for a month or two, and maybe that was it. And I graduated college with a girlfriend, and I thought, maybe this is it. But she was a little younger than me. She was still in school. So then once I started my job and we were really far away, it like fizzled out. And I was like, well, you know what? That's okay. I'm an adult now. There's probably going to be something out here in the real world for me. It'll be okay. I'm still young. And then this girl from high school that I knew, she showed up in my town. She was living there, and I was like, wow, this is really cool. And so we started talking, and then all of a sudden we started dating, and this was, like, really promising because she was bringing up things like, hey, where do you think this is going? I think this would be really cool if this went all the way to marriage. And I was like, finally, this is great. And we got engaged, and that's when everything kind of flipped in our relationship. And about a month before our wedding, she came over to my house, grabbed some of her stuff that she had already kind of moved in, and right before she left, she came back in and handed me the ring and said, I don't think this is gonna work, and left. And I didn't see her. And I stood in my kitchen and I cried for hours. And after about a year, I tried to date again, and I, I started dating another girl, and I thought it was really promising, and then one day she just called out of the blue and broke up with me. And I literally remember in my kitchen, or not in my kitchen, my living room, being on my hands and knees, punching my living room floor as hard as I could, screaming at God, "What the heck? You said you were with me. You said I was going to have a family someday. I have been faithful to you. I have been in the church. I went to school. I've been pure. I've not been screwing around. And I am faithful to you. And then this dingbat that I went to high school with, who didn't want anything to do with a kid or family, is married and happily with two kids. The kids in college who could care less about faithfulness and loyalty to their girls, they slept around with everyone. Now they're engaged and getting married. This is great, God. How about me, the person who actually does the work?" I mean, those were the things I was saying. I was so mad. That probably not as mad as Jairus, but I was mad. Because I didn't get it. I didn't get it. God, from the time I was 15 years old, this is all I've wanted. And I'm getting older. This is dumb. And I moved to South Dakota. And for a few years while I was here, it's the same old, same old. And then finally I met someone, Natalie. And thankfully she liked me. And I liked her. So we got married. And we have a kid. But I was 29 when I got married. 29. For some of you, you're like, "I don't even want to get married till I'm 35. I don't care. That's fine. You do you. For me, this was my Jairus thing. This was mine. And it was excruciating to wait for 14 years for this thing that God said he had for me, to see all these other people have all these other things happen to them with their family life, and it wasn't happening to me, and I was the one who I thought was being faithful to God. And for some of you out here, it might be relationships, stuff like that. It could be finances. It could be job. Like, what am I going to do after college? God, I've been in this path. I feel like you've really called me to this major. And the kid who gets D's has a job lined up after school, and I get A's and I don't. For some of you, it might be addictions. God, I've been coming to you over and over and over to get over this addiction. And you say that you're going to be with me, and pastors tell me that God is going to be with me if I call out to you, and I don't know where you are, and I keep messing up. Come on, help me out a little bit. And we often find ourselves in the shoes of Jairus, saying, like, who cares? Why do you keep helping everybody else when you're supposed to be with me? The problem is that sometimes our fears are so close to our face. And our insecurities are so close that we have an inability to see that God's doing amazing things in other people's lives. Sometimes our fear is so close to our face that we have an inability to understand that God's timing is God's timing, and it's weird. He told Abraham that he was going to have a son and waited till Abraham was 100. That's weird. All right? God's timing is weird. And at the end of this story, Jesus goes back up to Jairus and says, "Can I at least go home? Can I follow you home?" And Jairus, like, the Bible has words in it that it's kind of like a text, though. You don't really understand the tone. I'm sure when Jairus is like, "Yes, come with me," it was more like, "Yeah, whatever, dude. You blew it. You can follow me home. I could care less." Like, that's probably more of what Jairus was thinking. And so they go home, and they go into the house, and Jesus walks in, and there's a family that's grieving. And he's literally like, "Guys, I need you to stop crying so much. She's just asleep." And then it says they laughed at him. And again, it probably wasn't like, "Jesus, you are a funny guy. Man, that really lifts my spirits. She's just asleep." Wow. Man, where were you 10 minutes ago? Oh, it was probably like, who do you think you are? Walking into my house after my daughter died, and you think she's asleep? Who is this guy? I trusted him. I trusted him, and this is what I get. This is what I get, this Jesus guy. And Jesus said, let me go up to the room. And he walks up to the room, and he literally goes in and says, wake up. And he holds the girl's hand, and he wakes up. She wakes up, and they walk out to the family. God's timing is super weird. When someone's sick in the hospital, you don't hear a pastor pray very often, God, when they die, please bring them back to life. The nurses and doctors would be freaking out. And so would the person in the bed, to be honest with you. You don't pray that. Because sometimes we don't even know we're supposed to kind of pray that boldly. God's timing is amazing. And for Jairus, Jairus' timing was, you come with me now, heal my daughter. That's the timeline. God's timeline was not that. And for us, there's two really important things that I need you guys to remember as you go on. That I know that all of us have an insecurity and all of us have a Jairus thing. Right now, I know my life feels really good, to be honest. However, I know that there most likely will be a Jairus moment in the future. For some of you, you might be in that boat, and I just want you to be prepared when it comes. And for others of you, you might say, no, I am there. I feel exactly how you feel. Where are you, God? You said you were with me in this, and you're not. Two things. Do not allow your fear and insecurity to blind you from the amazing things God's doing around you. When you see your friends or even people you maybe don't know or don't like, that God's doing amazing things in their life, bringing relationships, bringing financial rest, bringing jobs and opportunities, bringing freedom from addiction. Step into that and praise God for that. And be with them and celebrate that stuff. And the second thing is that God's timing is not going to be yours. And it might only be a few years, way shorter than my experience, and it might be way longer. But if God says he is with you, he will be with you. Even though Jesus was here with the woman, he was still very much there with Jairus. He said, I'm with you when he got off the boat, and he was with him at the end when he brought his daughter back to life. God will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He will not abandon you, even if you try to abandon him. God is faithful. And he is just, and he is with you. And so if you have had God lay something on your heart, and it seems impossible, if God has put a dream or a desire in your heart, and you think this is never going to happen because there are literally no prospects, my relationship status could have been better described as me trying to fish in an empty fish tank. Zero. I had no idea what I was doing. There was nothing. But God's timing was he was going to throw just one fish in the tank. I had no idea. Don't let your fears and insecurities, don't let the frustrations and the sorrow and the anger well up inside of you to where you are blinded by everything happening around you. Have faith that God is always, always,